Hello, this is Kay Ballard, your host of Women Are Not Funny Radio, the internet radio show where every week we do all we can to prove our premise wrong. Our featured guest today is Shannon Glass, and today's show, given that, is going to be totally inappropriate because Shannon is totally inappropriate. Now, I've been told by a highly regarded expert that what you want to hear within the first 20 seconds of the show opening are the three things that you are going to learn from today's show. Well, I simply cannot lie to you. You are unlikely to learn anything today. In fact, I can almost guarantee it. But as someone who's devoted a large portion of her life to education, I can tell you that maybe that's overrated. At any rate, today's guest tried to persuade me that she might have periods of time where she had nothing actually to say, where she might freeze up with no words to offer. And I know that she was just trying to please me because she knows how much I would enjoy the opportunity to simply talk about myself and completely ignore her. I have spoken to her just a few moments ago, and she's very, very unlikely to follow through with the silence. So, Shannon, I have to ask you the same questions I ask all my guests on Women Are Not Funny, and it's not that I'm paranoid, but I just need to know where you're coming from. Are you using this appearance on Women Are Not Funny Radio as a stepping stone to something better?
Yes, yes I am. I'm trying to increase my Twitter followers.
Really? Well, maybe we can talk later about why that might be a worthy goal or something you would want. But here's another question I have for you. Are you using it kind of as an audition? You're trying to take over my show. Is that possible?
Absolutely. Because, you know, I don't mind stepping on people to get where I need to be. And my listenership has kind of fallen off over the summer and kind of looking to infuse new blood, thought I'd take over yours.
Well, see, what I'd love is someone who can be honest. And given that, it means that I can ask you any question and get a real answer. So here's something I want to know just from the outset. I've always been curious about this. My guess is that perhaps you're an overachiever, being the mother of twins, you know, two-for-one pregnancy. But how does God select women to be the mother of twins? How does that happen?
Well, you'd have to ask Oprah because, you know, she's currently running things in God's place. And, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that because I'm just not a huge Oprah fan. Sorry. But, I just
Shannon, just one moment. That's fine with me. I just need to know to put it in context. Are we talking about fat Oprah or skinny Oprah? Which one do you not like?
I don't like any Oprah.
Okay. Okay. Just wanted to clear that up.
So, okay. Well, okay. Let me take that back. I like the color purple Oprah.
Okay. Okay. Now we know. So you know, what you're saying is I need to take my question to a higher power. That unlike Oprah, you're not really speaking for God these days.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, you know, one thing that is very promising to me about this hour with you is that I think we can help each other out. And a few weeks ago, actually several weeks ago, we started an initiative on Women Are Not Funny, and it was, you know, do something. It was the Do Something initiative. And we thought, you know, while we're here, we might as well, you know, do some stuff because why not? You know, we're here for an hour. So if we could get some things accomplished, wouldn't you think that would be a good thing?
Oh, yeah. Nobody said anything about doing stuff because I'm lazy.
Well, I'm not talking about folding laundry. I'm really not. I'm talking about, you know, maybe I could straighten you out. You could straighten me out. You could see, here's one thing that I thought would be a huge opportunity. And I have to tell you, yes, I did meet you on Twitter. I did meet you on social media. And the moment I became aware of you, I knew that someday you were destined for Women Are Not Funny Radio. Because someone who could unabashedly state that she was inappropriate is someone that I need to know, someone that my listeners need to know. And what I can determine from, you know, reading about you and trying to figure out who you are, I think you're exactly right. You're totally inappropriate.
Well, thank you. I take that as a compliment.
Of course you do. Of course you do. And as I got to know you better, I realized, well, it occurred to me anyway, this is what I think, it's only my theory, but that you are just whacked out enough to give me good advice.
Oh, I give great advice. If only everyone would take my advice, the world would just, it would run so much smoother.
Yeah, well, absolutely, absolutely. And here's a question, though, from, are you interested in advice from me?
Sure. Of course I am.
You already know you don't have to follow it, but you know that's still you know I also like you give lots of advice and I usually you know I had a very successful career as a consultant. I'm going to be going back to that some, and I was very highly paid, so that would be the exception. But most of the time, the advice I offer up for my casual friends, and I think for my social networking friends, they don't pay a penny for it, and they tell me it is worth what the price they pay.
Well, you know, I would have to agree with that.
So you really are, though, very active on social media, aren't you?
As much as I talk about people in social media, yes, I like to think of it as just, because I really don't like people, and the more I don't like them, the more they insist on liking me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I talk to them on the computer, if I talk to the people who live in the computer, then nobody bothers me in real life.
Well, let me tell you what happened last week on Women Are Not Funny Radio. We had as our guest someone who is a very good Twitter friend of mine, Martha Giffen. And she's very well loved by our listeners because she's from Alabama and she's very down to earth and she is very, very funny. But one problem with Martha, and it is a huge problem in my view, is she likes everybody. That's what she says. You know, she just likes everybody. And I agree with you. I mean, and what, you know, I have just barely recovered from spending an entire hour a week ago with someone who likes everybody.
How did you live? Don't you feel dirty now? Did you have to like scrub with cornstarch and a scrub brush or something to get the feeling of ookie off?
It mostly just made me sad, you know, because, you know, when Martha says, some people say they love everybody and they're lying, right? You know, they're just making that up. They do not. They do not. In Martha's case, when she says she likes everyone or she loves everyone, she really does. She actually does. So I just felt sorry for her. You know, the fact that you don't like anybody, that doesn't keep you from feeling sorry for people from time to time, does it?
Well,
or do you have no empathy at all?
No, I have empathy, but it's usually tinged with amusement.
Mm-hmm. Well, at any rate, I was just thrilled. You know, I was thrilled that after that horrible hour of being with someone who truly does like everybody, you know, because there's nowhere for me to take it, you know. And I will say this, Martha is somewhat accepting of the fact that I don't hate everybody. Goodness knows, there are a lot of people I like. You know, so that we may be a little different there. You don't like anybody, right?
I prefer tolerate as my word there instead of like. Mm-hmm. It's more tolerate.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't understand. You know,
one thing about it is this is just a suspicion, and when I say this, I mean, you know, forgive me for this or not. You have a choice, obviously. But I am a lawyer. I am a lawyer. So, you know, I
Are you Star Jones? I didn't know I was talking to Star Jones.
No, I'm not. You know what? Believe it or not, there are literally thousands of people in this country and around the world who are lawyers. You can be a lawyer and not be Star Jones. Did you know that?
I had no idea whatsoever.
Yeah.
I am bum-fuzzled.
Let me just tell you this since you haven't noticed. There are tons of lawyers. And as far as I know, only one of us is Star Jones, and I am not her. I'm not her. Anyway, what I wanted to say is, okay, so, and this, do not consider this a prosecution. Okay, this is not a prosecution. It's just an observation. But it is an observation that springs from the fact that I am a lawyer, and so I notice things in a certain different way. Okay? So you don't like anyone. On the other hand, you also state, you know, in just kind of bold white type on your Twitter page that you hate humorless, monetizing mommy bloggers.
Right.
So it just seems like to me that the statement, I don't like anyone, would kind of cover it. I just don't understand the real need for drawing them out, you know, the humorless, monetizing mommy bloggers.
Well, I'll tell you. I wrote that in a fit of pique because that's when the whole Motrin scandal was on Twitter, and I thought it was the most ridiculous, outrageous thing I'd ever seen, and that's where that came from. Plus, if I say everyone, I hate everyone, or I don't like everyone, then two or three of my really close, tolerated people will say, oh, but you love me. Why? You didn't mean me. And frankly, that's just too much pressure. I can't handle it.
Yeah,
so.
That's a very sensible answer. Well, here's what I think, though. And, you know, what I'm about to say to you is a compliment, okay? So if you also can't tolerate compliments, you may have a problem with it. But this is really a very sincere compliment. I think it takes worlds of courage to openly state that you dislike mommy bloggers, you know. And monetizing mommy bloggers even more so, because after all, they are the powerful ones. They are the monetized mommy bloggers. That's the center of power, like you said. Motrin found out, right? So,
yeah, and they use that power for so much good things, like, you know, feeding kids in this country and that nature. Yeah. Oh, don't get me started.
Well, it was soapboxed
you to death.
It was. Let me tell you what. It was very interesting to me to watch. You know, it was very, very interesting, and I wasn't vocal about it in any way. I just kind of, you know, don't pay a whole lot of attention to mommy bloggers, although I do follow some on Twitter. You know, and so I'm aware when Walmart buys them something or they go to Disney World or, you know, that sort of thing, you can generally hear about it. But I thought the Motrin situation was very interesting because there was so much high horse. Oh, my goodness. And I didn't think, you know, it was almost like groupthink that the ad campaign wasn't funny. You know, I mean...
Yeah.
The ad campaign, I did not find the ad campaign offensive. Whether it would be effective, whether it would sell Motrin, I don't know. But, you know, I personally didn't find it offensive. But apparently it either was offensive or there was a whole lot of groupthink going on.
I tend to think, go with groupthink. There wasn't anything offensive I could see about it. It's just like some people on Twitter and blogs and wherever you go, they are so ready. They're perched on the edge of the cliff of being offended, and they're just waiting for someone to look at them cross-eyed so they can fall right over that offended cliff. I see it all the time in my stream, which just reinforces my whole position on how I don't like people.
Well, you know what? Here is my theory, and I always like to throw them out there, and I don't think, you know, there's probably anything to it. But one thing I have noticed, I tend to be a little sarcastic, okay? And that is just a natural personality trait and one that I certainly value. Now, the people around me tend to value it a little less than I do, you know? But for me personally, personally, I value that trait. But sarcasm does not play too well in social media. People are not big fans of sarcasm in social media. They also are not big fans of anything that's not, you know, really kind of nicey nice. Would you agree with that? I mean, there are obviously the people that you and I follow or we would follow us are people who are a little more tolerant than most, right? But
right. Oh, they have to be tolerant. I daily ask myself, why are you people following me? Because, frankly, I have nothing good to say. But
well, your Twitter page actually says, your Twitter page actually goes so far as to say, not safe for humans.
Right. I mean, I can't be any more honest and upfront about it. And then, and still somewhat like, okay, people will criticize me. People I don't even engage with will criticize me for things I say. And I will not tolerate that. I mean, I can take criticism as much as the next girl if the next girl mm-hmm. is, you know, able to take criticism at all. But someone who doesn't even engage with me at all and the first thing they ever say to me is, was it really necessary to use the F word? And I'm like, F, yeah, it was. And I'm like, who are you and why are you bothering me? Hit the unfollow button, honey. So it's free.
Yeah. Well, I don't, you know, I do want to mention for listeners that Shannon tweets under the name at AKA Monty, M-O-N-T-Y. So it's AKA Monty, and she is a fabulous person to follow. Now, I always think when I see the F-word in your stream, I think, oh, she's just trying to get her score up on Cursebird. Are you familiar with Cursebird?
I am, actually. I haven't checked it in a long time, but I had a pretty high score at one point in time.
I think you're standing, just guessing, I haven't checked, you know, I cannot validate this. I would think your standing is probably pretty good, so I don't think you have anything to worry about that. But, you know, one of the things that and it always surprises me. See, I haven't run into that, Shannon, where people really take me to task for my tweets. It just really doesn't happen to me, so I guess I'm not controversial enough. But one thing that you said that really, you know, kind of bothered me a whole lot, it's right there on your Twitter page, and you'll know as soon as I say this why I took it so personally, is that you said you are anti-cool. And, you know, I am so cool. I mean, that's one thing you should know about me. I am just incredibly cool. In fact, I'm awesome. I'm adorable and I'm modest. And I'm also very cool. And so I suppose if you like me at all, and you never have said that you do, and you probably don't since you hate everyone, but you like me despite the fact I'm cool, I suppose, if you were to like me a little bit.
Well, you know, tolerate, again, here is the word, the watchword. And I agree, you are all those things. And, you know, I only put anti-cool there because it's to keep people from being jealous of me. Because I am actually so cool that John Cleese follows me. He has also favorited one of my tweets. And John Cusack has retweeted me. So that makes me double cooler than you.
You know what? You are not double cooler than I am, but those things do make you cool. Now, let me tell you, though, I don't want to alarm you, but you need to, and I say this from bitter personal experience, you need to do something to document those tweets, okay? Because several things could happen. One, the person in question could delete the tweets, if that happens, vapor, they just go up in vapor, you know. Number two, this happened to me. I mean, I can tell you my sad story. It's all on my blog, but it's just very sad. Deepak Chopra retweeted me, you know, and he's someone who everyone else retweets. And
I actually heard that story when I listened to you and Patty.
Oh, yeah. It was horrible. And she was, you know, she partially engineered it, but she is a fiend. Patty Dye is a fiend. Let me just go on the record for that. And so, you know, the other thing that could happen is, so let's say that John Cusack doesn't delete the retweet, but let's say he, for whatever reason, leaves Twitter and closes his account. Once again, vapor. So I'm just telling you, for your own protection and your own standing in the whole cool hierarchy, which there is one, of course, you need to document those things. Okay?
Well, I will. Thank you for the advice, because I have some friends, one of whom is currently dialed in and listening, not to mention any names, Lisa, but she and some of the other people were just going on and on about it and putting John Cleese this and John Cleese that. And John, I was like, if you make him unfollow me, I will kill you, and then I'll never talk to you again.
Well, absolutely. I think that sort of outcome would call for that sort of behavior on your part. First kill them and then not talk to them. I would say both of those things in exactly that order. Now, you know, John Cleese definitely falls into a category that I have, I deem it trophy follow. He is a trophy follow. And I am impressed. I'll just out with it, admit it, I'm impressed. There's nothing else I can, you know, I can't make any other claim. But anyway, I just...
Well, I am sort of impressive like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And could you introduce me?
Well, you know, the more impressive I am, the more people want to be around me, and the meaner I have to be. So it all works out well for everybody. It's win-win.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would like you to do. You know, I can't really ask for more than this today, but I will come back and ask again. Just think about it. You know, just think it over, because in the first place, it would be a good thing for him. He would thank you. You know, this is what you're not considering. John Cleese wants to meet me. You know, now just remember that. So keep it in mind. Now, one of the things that I noticed, I have read your blog and love your blog. And people can link to your blog on the Women Are Not Funny show notes for today, but I'll give the URL in a few moments. I couldn't help but notice, and I thought it was a fabulous idea, that one of your blog categories is anger management.
Yes, that's where I put the stuff that makes me mad.
Well, I just thought, what a fabulous blog category. And, you know, I have some of my own that are a little unusual. I have blonde ambition and confusion. And it occurred to me what I really was doing was just, you know, sort of beating around the bush. You know, if I had come up with anger management, that would be more like it.
Yeah, you just got to come right out and be straightforward, because, well, frankly, that's the only way I know how to be. And so that's why I'm very harsh on people I perceive as being, you know, fake or, you know, whatever, hiding behind their little Betty Page blonde dolls and things like that.
Well, you know what? The fact of the matter is, and I talked about that this very week, last week, it is something that happened to me that, you know, made me able to give you the advice that I did about someone losing the Twitter account. I told this story last week, and I'm very happy to tell it again. It's a story I would tell over and over and do, that my personal physician was on Twitter for a while, for a very short while, and actively. And so she tweeted, "Yes, Kay, you do look like your avatar, although you look much snazzier." This is the tweet, okay? And so then every time someone wanted to give me grief about my avatar, I just sent them the URL of that tweet, right, where my own personal physician documented that I look like my avatar, only snazzier. This is a quote. And so I was very happy with that, naturally. It just, you know, it solved a lot of problems for me. However, for whatever reason, she decided to close her account. And when she did, that tweet, vapor. You see, I mean, I have some hard stories, some sad hard stories of things that have happened to me on Twitter, and it's really not fair.
I agree.
Yeah, that was really not fair. So that's why I said on the whole John Cusack thing, you know, you need to take steps and protect yourself. You really do. Okay, so another thing that you just specifically state, and I think it's, you know, just very interesting, that you hate self-promoting, self-important, social media mavens and gurus.
Well, that word seemed to be going around a lot at the time. Everyone's bio said, I am a social media maven or a guru or an expert enthusiast. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm not going to mention names because this is another soapbox for me. And mm-hmm. All I'm going to say is they preach one thing and do another. And nobody's an expert in the field of social media at present, because just because you're successful right now doesn't mean you're going to continue to be successful, because it's relatively, I don't want to say new, but newly known to the masses. You know, mm-hmm. as far as being labeled with social media and what it means to people now. So, you know, you get these people, all they do to promote to be a social media guru or a maven is basically to retweet everyone or post inspirational quotes that they've stolen from someone else and they can't think of an original idea. And, I have a problem with that. Well, you know, not a problem like it keeps me up at night, but I'm just like roll my eyes and laugh and think, oh, what a D-bag.
Well, I find it very interesting, and I don't disagree. Apparently, I don't even know if you can spell, but you seem to know the letters that words start with, which is, you know, very impressive, even if you can't spell, right? You know,
right.
You know just enough spelling to kind of get you by, but you know,
that's what
my
teachers always said too.
Yeah, exactly. And why would anyone want more? You know, just enough to get by. So you hate self-promoting, self-important social media mavens. I just wondered if you kind of tolerated the ones who don't self-promote or the ones who aren't self. Important. I mean, do they have to be both self-promoting and self-important, or do you have any sort of degrees of hatred for those people?
Well, yeah, there of course are shades of gray in dislike as well as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, loathe some people and just, you know, kind of about the rest.
One of the things that I have done on Twitter is, and actually this people who listened to last week's show can find this very repetitive, and I apologize in advance for that, but in my own case, I really have seen it as totally social, even though I have done business with people I've met on Twitter, but I haven't done what many people do, and that is follow back everyone who follows them so that they build their numbers up. I haven't been concerned about building my numbers up. And I hardly follow anyone back now. You know, I just mm-hmm. don't want any more people in my stream. But I was listening to some training yesterday where a guy was talking about this new software that would permit you install it in your phone, it would permit you when you are at a meeting to know the follow numbers of everyone there, so you could determine who were the top five most influential people there, and then you could invite them to lunch. Okay?
Nice.
So the way you could determine who were the top most influential people is by how many followers they had, you know? And so it's just interesting in a world where influence is so strongly correlated in many people's minds with the number of Twitter followers you have or Facebook followers or Facebook fans that you have. It's just kind of a screwed up world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm like, who thinks that that still matters? You know, when I discovered numbers didn't matter, when I got followed by an obvious spam bot, and I looked at the page, because I check everyone that comes in my inbox, I look at to see if it's somebody I think I might want to follow back, every single one, because, you know, that's only fair. And I looked, and this thing, it was a spam bot. It had one tweet. It had been open for 3 months and had 17,000-plus followers. 17,000.
Well, see, that's a happy thought. I would like for the guy who was talking about this software to have lunch with that bot. You know, that would be
exactly.
A really, that would be a fun outcome. I could go with that. That's really very cool. Now, you mentioned about on Twitter the people who want to tweet the little inspirational phrases. And right before we came on the air, someone in my stream asked a question. He said, are you motivated when you get a tweet that says something like, if you dream it, you can do it?
I am not only so not motivated, I am in turn disgusted and amused and thinking, how ridiculous are you? I mean, I see it all the time, and 8 times out of 10, it's from a social media person, which just goes back to that whole dislike.
Well, and then what? There is one, to be afraid to fall is to be afraid to fly, you know?
Really? Because I can fall just like walking down the street because I'm that clumsy. I fell off my parents' sidewalk the other day, and, you know, I fall off my clogs. So, and I'm not even trying to fly. So all their stuff makes no sense, and it cannot be translated into the real world for any sort of use. It sounds good, and it's all prosy and la, 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 but it's worth about less than my advice, even.
Yeah, well, you know what? One thing that just kind of astonishes me, because I'm someone who, for the most part, does believe that if you can dream it, you can do it. But I still do not want to open up Twitter and have some fool tweet at me, if you can dream it, you can do it. You know, I just don't like it. And even though I pretty much believe it. So go figure that out. But I do know, here's another thing that I discovered. It's so amazing what you can discover from people in their Twitter stream. So you are someone who steps out in front of people. You really are. I mean, here we are. July 2nd, the 4th does not take place until Sunday. But in this last week, you have gone ahead and you have already had s'mores.
I did, and it was thanks to Sonic Drive-In, also known as the Crack House.
Who even knew that you could get s'mores at Sonic? I mean, I didn't.
Well, it's not really s'mores. It's like a shake.
Oh.
It's graham cracker flavored ice cream blended up with tiny chocolate covered marshmallows topped with whipped cream. And it is like a little slice of ambrosia.
Shannon, can you burn it? You know, because I have this kind of fantasy about some burnt marshmallows for 4th of July. I probably won't have any. There's probably no way I'll get them, but... You know,
well,
where does the burn come in?
Well, it's just the chocolate cover on the marshmallows is supposed to look burnt and taste delicious. I prefer my marshmallows burnt as well. But, you know, when you mix it with ice cream, it kind of loses the whole
I know,
flavor.
But there is such a thing as fried ice cream. I mean, just saying. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I will not go to the trouble. I will not go to the trouble. And I certainly don't really want to be – I'm in Texas currently. I certainly don't want to be outside on the 4th of July burning marshmallows. That doesn't sound like me.
Well, no, you know? I have a gas stove, so you can just come on up here and we will toast them on the gas stove. It works to make perfect s'mores, I promise.
You know, that is a good point. My This is my winter condo. Don't ask me why I'm here in July. But this has a, I have a newish electric range with a glass top. I just don't think you can burn marshmallows on it. I think it's probably totally impossible. But here we are. We're getting along in the hour. It's time for me to ask you for advice.
Oh, okay. I will give you some great advice.
Yeah, I know you will. Mm-hmm. And I'm the rest of the story is I'm counting on it. I mean, I'm really, really counting on it. Now, what I have for you, my questions for you, they're kind of random. All right. First, before I do that, let me just ask you, how did you become inappropriate?
I think I might have been born this way, but I'm really not sure. I just,
okay.
A lot of it is probably from, I had so many years in customer service, that's where I started disliking people, because I managed, mm-hmm. I was a hotel GM for a long time, and that really kind of sealed the deal on the whole not liking people thing. And from there, it just progressed into a general inappropriateness, but I've always had an inappropriate edge, because I just, I don't like to pussyfoot around things. I just like to say it and do it and get it out there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be playing.
Well,
I do
you
not
know,
play.
You are not terribly fond of internet marketers, but there might be a product, you know, for you might could even get into coaching, help people become more inappropriate, that whole sort of thing. But here we go. Here are my questions for you. All right, what if you love the wrong person? What then?
Well, that just, are we talking like a significant other type person?
Well, yeah, we're not talking about someone just random on, you know, that you meet on the sidewalk before you fall off your clogs. You know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about, we're not talking about significant other, because here, where I am, we don't like that phrase. We just don't find that phrase. Okay.
Okay. I usually say insignificant other, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. Okay. If we're talking about a mate, what to do when you love the wrong person? Well, really, that just comes down to how wrong are they? And if they let you be right.
Mm-hmm. How wrong are they? I like that. How
yeah.
wrong are they? I'm writing that down, actually. That's pretty, you know, that's pretty good. I mean, it's good enough to steal. That's the way I feel about it.
Right
okay,
on.
So here's number two. This morning, I spent a few minutes thinking about writing a piece where I was imagining what it would be like to be an onion who, you know, goes through the entire process, life process of being an onion, and then grows into an onion, and then it ends up in the supermarket, and then it's for sale in the reduced produce section for 20 cents, and then someone takes it home and chops it up and cooks it. I was actually thinking about writing about that and what it would be like and imagining what it would be like. And then I kind of stood there and paused, and I said, where would, if I spent the time, which I do not have, to write a piece like that, where would I put it? Who would read it? What is the value? So I just, you know, I'm laying this out there just kind of like you would tell a psychiatrist, so you can just tell me what you think about this, about what I just said.
Oh, okay. Well, first I can give you a title, and it can be called The Story of Shannon, also known as Eat Me. And
so what you're telling me is actually a story you might could relate to.
Yeah, I would totally share that piece on Facebook.
Yeah, okay, well, cool.
I would
give
you
a like. I was not expecting to get that advice, but you know, you are nothing but original and unexpected, and you know that. Okay, so if someone emails you and says, "Don't fall for the hype," what is really going on there? You know, if they're saying, "Don't fall for the hype, click this link," blah, 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 blah. What is really going on there? Should you click the link, you know?
Well, you know, it's either one of two things. It's somebody who is fixing to give me some hype, or it is a top secret government code that only I can crack. And I would click it, but see, I can't tell you about that. Because, you know, top secret.
I think for the most part, it's going to be the first one a lot of the time.
Well, maybe in your life.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's true. That's all I have to base things on, darling. It's just, you know, all I can do. But you gave me some really good advice and some good ideas. Now, I think I should turn the tables and give you some, okay?
Okay,
how do you feel about that?
You feel free.
All right, well, one of the things that I noticed, and I couldn't help but notice because it's terribly, terribly interesting, is that on the first page of your blog, you say, I'm a 41-year young single mother. Okay, then I read further and realize you had a birthday in April. You're actually not 41. And I, as much as I like that, you know, I like that because I think women not only should lie about their age, they're obligated to lie about their age. But Shannon, only 1 year? I mean, I would advise you, you know, just consider this. You go in and change that little about section on your blog. I'm not saying, you know, update it to 42. God, no, don't do that. Change it to, I am a 30-something year-old, young, single mother, blah, blah, blah. Because that is, you know, that's, A, worth lying about. Two, that phrase, 30-something, you know, no one has to know we're talking 30 plus 12, right? It's just 30-something, right?
Right. You know, that's actually very good advice, and it was an accidental lie because I told you I'm very lazy and don't update things. But I like your idea. I'm going to take that advice maybe and put 30-something because also that will get me the younger guys.
Exactly. I think it's, you know what, I knew it was good advice, and I knew you would be grateful because one thing that comes through is that you are really, really smart. And I will not give you a hard time since you were so gracious about acknowledging that I gave you good advice. I'm not going to give you a hard time about, you know, is 42 really a girl? You know, because girl interrupted is what you are, not girl interrupted, girl inappropriate is how you style yourself. And, you know, I just wondered about that.
Well, yeah, because I steal things like from the movie, you know, girl interrupted. So, yeah, it all comes down to basic one thing. It's laziness because I don't want to do, you know, think of things for myself. So I steal it from other people. I don't want to things. So, you know, when I'm 63, it's probably still going to say 41 on my blog or 30-something.
Yeah, I would say 30. I would, if you take my advice, 30-something works. Okay, if you have to state your age at all, you know. Now, you have a philosophy that you state in one of your recent posts that you do not really want to complain there because you're superstitious that things will get worse because things can always get worse. Oh, my goodness, truer words. You know, that is so true. What about that?
Well, it's one of those things that I look at myself and I'm embarrassed for being that silly. But on the other hand, I'm not embarrassed enough to change that behavior in me. It's like when I wanted to call in sick for work, just because I needed a mental health day or whatever, or I just wanted to play hooky, or I just didn't want to get out of bed, I would never use my kids as an excuse. I can't say, oh, my son is sick, so I can't come. I'm scared that he's going to get really sick. And then where will I be? It'll be my fault. I've got enough blame already assigned to myself. I don't need to be adding anymore. So it's one of my little superstitious things. I try not to complain about the things I have because as long as we have food and a roof and the kids and I are together, then really I have everything.
Yeah, well, that was, you know, stunningly close to a good attitude. But it's amazing coming from someone who says, my life is amusing, frustrating, and ridiculous. I'm fairly neurotic, frequently depressed, and often anxious. So that's my other advice to you, darling, is drugs. Have you ever heard of drugs?
Yes, I spent a beautiful 2 years on Zoloft, Or do you mean the other kind of drugs? I'm not allowed to talk about that, or my lawyer will call me.
No, listen, I'm talking about drugs like Zoloft because I know them well. You know how I know them? They're constantly commenting on my blogs and emailing me. And so I know them, you know, just almost intimately. But here's another thing that I found. This is, you know, this is really almost like a website review, isn't it? You know, I'm just actually telling you everything that I think about what you've written lately, but I find it so interesting. So,
by interesting, do you mean like, oh, she's interesting and she's got a pretty face? Is that
no,
what you
no,
mean?
I don't mean that at all.
Okay.
I mean like, I mean what I mean is you're exotic. You're just exotic because you are very bold in your approach to these people and telling what you think. So you had a kind of surprise that there was a blogging network that you had been associated with in the past, and they turned down your bid for participation in one of their projects because they felt like your blog was somewhat inappropriate. But here's my question for you. Why wouldn't you consider that a compliment? I mean, you cannot have it both ways, can you really? You can't. Really? I mean, if they said you were inappropriate, doesn't that mean it's working?
Well, I'll tell you, the reason it has been working for several years, and now for the last year through multiple personnel changes at that particular place of Stepford's, they have, not only mine, I have come to find out that some of the other people who they used to choose for these product reviews and blog tours have also not received anything in the last several months to a year. And all those people are more like me than not like me. Do you know what I mean?
Well, one of the things where I thought I could help you, I mean, and that's really, because when I say that Women Are Not Funny is having a do-something initiative, we're just trying to solve problems today. I mean, you gave me advice. I told you how to consider your age. I'm going to help you out here. You say you think the problem is you don't stay home, meaning you work outside the home. Well, I can't do anything about that. And that you swear, and I can't do anything about that, and I'm not inclined to. But also you don't do crafts. And so I thought what I could do is to teach you to make a winsome Santa out of a bleach bottle, because you also say you like Clorox bleach.
Oh, now really? But this falls under the whole thing of doing stuff, which mm-hmm. I don't do because lazy.
Mm-hmm.
You keep forgetting lazy. I understand
lazy, but if you are too lazy, a.k.a. Monty, Shannon Glass, girl inappropriate, whatever it is that I'm supposed to call you. If you are too lazy to learn to make a winsome Santa from a bleach bottle in order to be able to participate in this highly prestigious blog network of mommies, then that's lazy, hon. That's really lazy.
It is lazy, and plus they can kiss it. I don't want to join I'm not playing in their sandbox anymore because I'm mad now.
Well, I do not blame you. I do not blame you. Okay, here's something that happened to me. It came in my inbox today. You know, I already told you about the one, don't fall for the hype. But I just wonder how you would approach something like this. Okay, I subscribe to an email newsletter that I love, just love, called Very Short List. And every day they come out with kind of, you know, something kind of intriguing, a website you're supposed to look at or a movie you might like. And I'm actually kind of offended because I sent them information about my comedy CD about my divorce, KK's divorce, because I was hoping they'd pick it up. And I haven't heard anything from it. But, you know, I had this very well-developed fantasy because Charlie Rose subscribes to this particular newsletter, and I thought, yeah, they could pick up KK's divorce. He could listen to it. Charlie Rose could, you know, download my CD about my divorce, and then he would fall for me. And then, you know, he's divorced. And he would probably want to, you know, marry me, that whole sort of thing. But anyway, today, very short list. I haven't unsubscribed. I, you know, no hard feelings, and they haven't picked up my divorce. But here's what the subject line said. It said, good luck trying to stop playing this Etch-a-Sketch-like game. Now, what do you think is going on there? When someone would, they know that if you start playing the Etch-a-Sketch-like game, you're going to be stuck playing it for apparently ever.
Uh-huh.
And they send it to you anyway. I mean, is that a hostile act? How do you feel about things like that?
Oh, I think it's a totally hostile act. And they're just attempting to, you know, it's somebody like, you know, one of those people who starts cults. They're the people who send that because they want to hook you and bring you into them.
Join them. You know what? I think you have it exactly right. It is they wanted to bring me into some sort of Etch-a-Sketch like playing cult. Exactly.
Yes.
Right. And I think you are an expert on that because today you did tweet that you are wholesome and Amish. So you are probably a member of an Amish cult.
I'm a member of many cults. I run a few. Because who, really, who would not want to join a cult of me? It kind of doesn't work out really well, though, because I only allow one person to join the cult, and that's me, because otherwise I can't be a misanthrope.
Yeah, but Shannon, Girl Appropriate, a.k.a. Monty, your blog says join our community. It actually says that. Actually says that.
Well, I didn't say I wasn't contradictory.
No, you definitely are. You definitely are. It's very fun. Oh, you know, and then I also, I left out one name, Redneck Mama. Redneck Mama?
Yeah, okay. Now that, I have a story behind most of my screen names, and none of them are interesting, and they're all very short, or really even the shortest one is too long. Redneck Mama.
You know what, Shannon, I must interrupt. If they are boring, they definitely belong on this show. That this is a place for them. Let's hear one.
Okay, well, Redneck Mama, this is the dumb story. 500 years ago when I first got on the internet at my aunt's house, right after what's-his-name invented it, and there was a song in the background. It's a country song, and it's called I'm a Redneck Mother. Because my aunt was listening to, you know, country music. And so she said, well, first you need a screen name. And Redneck Mother was playing in the background, so I typed that in, and it was already taken, so I typed Redneck Mama. And that's my very first ever screen name ever, or email name or anything. So that's how that came about. There's no real purpose except from a song that made me do it.
This is my theory, okay? This is my theory. You are perfectly free, as you know, to confirm or deny it. But I think one of your talents is making up clever names. So that's why your blog actually has two names. Your blog is Brain Soup and The Daily Bitch, you know? So
yeah.
It's like you have so many cute names, you cannot pick and choose. You cannot pick and choose.
That's a whole okay, our newspaper is called The Daily Oklahoman, and when I very first started my blog on LiveJournal, again, 500 years ago, because I needed to be angsty and vent my emotions, and I was having a lot of anxiety at that time, and so I kind of styled it after a newspaper, and we had editorial, you know, the sidebar was all cutesy named with like newspaper sections and blah, blah, blah. Well, now that the whole branding thing is popular, I find it impossible to unbrand myself as the Daily Bitch, which, you know, I don't care. That's how everybody knows it or knows me, so I would just
Well,
live with
what
it.
Do they know you as on Friday nights? Because you have your own radio show, and apparently you're going to be broadcasting tonight at 10 p.m. Central Time. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, now they just know me as Monty because that's of the AKA Monty part, or they know it as Friday Night Live, and it's we're taking a hiatus for the summer because, like, my listenership was way down, and I get depressed when I get too few listeners and nobody pays attention to me, and I have to scream, look at me, look at me. And, you know, when it comes to that point, it's time for me to just take a hiatus and taunt them with possibility of upcoming shows so that people will show up. And so we're going to be broadcasting tonight. Well, frankly, I needed to compete with you today.
I understand that.
So I will be broadcasting. I play music. I talk a lot to myself, or, you know, I have a radio show, one, me in my studio, a.k.a. my desk with the computer. And so I'm used to just talking and not having any feedback except responding to what people are saying in the chat room, because I have a chat room active at the time, and people listen and they chat together, and everybody gets a little crazy and naked, and sometimes there are, you know, group things that I can't talk about here on your show, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, my. Well, obviously, you know, there are so many more things I had to talk with you about, including your claim of mediocrity, because one of our guests upcoming is a good friend of mine, Sarah Robinson, who is a very highly regarded personal coach, and her whole thing, Shannon, is to help people avoid mediocrity. And she's having a big in-person live event in September in Atlanta, Georgia. And it just, you know, crossed my mind because I am something of a social media maven. And I am known as Connector. And I help people, you know, connect and meet the people they're supposed to meet. And so I thought maybe I could broker a deal between Shannon and Sarah. And you could appear at her live event as an example of mediocrity and what it is that, you know, people should really be fighting to avoid. How do you feel about
that? Oh, now I feel like that is a fantastic idea. And also, my maiden name is Robinson.
Well, you know, some kismet.
We could be related.
Kismet, you may already be related. And so I thought that was just a fabulous idea. I also really, really, really was hoping to work out something with you where I could teach you to make a winsome Santa out of a Clorox bottle, because I was thinking, you know, you could get back on that blog network and maybe you could get some free Clorox, you know, being a big fan and all of that.
Well,
and
you
so
know.
I try to accomplish things for my people. That's something that, you know, I'm very proud of, and I'm
you're
sure you're very
selfless.
Yeah, I'm not at all, but I am pretty awesome. You know, you don't have to be selfless to be awesome. You know that. Anyway, I have loved the opportunity to have fun with you today, and want to thank you for coming by. And I hope that people will tune in tonight. Obviously, you did not return the favor. I was not invited to be a guest on your show, but, you know, I'll just take my lumps and move on. And well, it's been so much fun to talk with you. No kidding. The moment I became aware of you, I knew that this day would come. So it's been a real fun thing for me.
Well, thank you. I have enjoyed it as well. And the reason I didn't invite you to be on my show is because my listeners tear my guests apart. I refuse to have guests anymore because they are so mean and rude. And I have shut down my show early because they were such jerks. And
well,
to my guests.
You know what? I am not in the least envious of you that you have rude listeners. Mine are fabulous. And
well,
I want to tell them that next week's guest is a good friend of mine and a good friend of this show, Lynn Walsh from Sydney, Australia. So I hope they'll be tuning in next week. Shannon, goodbye.
Yeah. Goodbye.